The first reading is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. The boy Jesus at the temple. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I hope and trust that you've all had a happy and blessed Christmas. And I hope and trust too that you've enjoyed singing and listening to the Christmas carols. But have you noticed how, with a few exceptions perhaps, there's so much really good theology, teaching about God in them. I say with a few exceptions, as I see, for example, that in some versions of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, the theology has been deliberately altered or at least obscured. You can go back and check for yourselves. So today, this first Sunday after Christmas, I want to concentrate for a short time on a bit more theology. You will have noticed how today's gospel ends with the words, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor." What's obscured by the reading of this short gospel is that the verse immediately preceding the passage which Anne has just read is very similar. "And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." Clearly, this aspect of Jesus' life was of particular importance to St. Luke, although in my experience it often tends to be ignored. To date, the emphasis in our Christmas story has been, quite understandably, on the divinity of Christ. It's the wonder and the gift that God has been made man. And now the emphasis subtly changes to the humanity of Christ. God has been made man. Both are of equal importance to our salvation. In a short while, we will repeat the Nicene Creed, where the same point is made. Not only is Jesus Christ very God of very God, but he was also incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man. You may have noticed that the same emphasis was in this morning's collect as well. I'm sure some of you will still have copies of the Book of Common Prayer at home. And if you go home and look at the back of those of your Book of Common Prayer, you'll find the 39 articles of religion. And the second article says this: "The Son, which is the Word of the Father, begotten from everlasting of the Father, the very and eternal God, and of one substance with the Father, took man's nature in the womb of the Blessed Virgin of her substance, so that two whole and perfect natures, that is to say, the Godhead and manhood, were joined together in one person, never to be divided, whereof is one Christ, very God and very man, who truly suffered, was crucified, dead, and buried, to reconcile his Father to us and to be a sacrifice not only for original guilt, but also for all actual sins of men." And when you've got your Book of Common Prayer open, if you turn back to the front and you go to where it says "at morning prayer," you'll find what's called the Quicunque Vult, or the Athanasian Creed, to be said on Christmas Day, amongst other days. And it says, "For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man." Unsurprisingly, this has or should have a very real bearing on the way that we interpret the scriptures. For example, it means that while in his human form, Jesus was not and could not be omniscient. As St. Luke says in today's gospel, Jesus increased in wisdom as well as in years. And St. Luke's two statements, both to similar effect, bracket the story of Jesus in the Jerusalem temple. There's no suggestion that Jesus was teaching the teachers of the law, nor, on the other hand, that he was their actual pupil. Nonetheless, the teachers were clearly so impressed by Jesus' perspicacity at the age of 12 that they permitted him not only to listen to them, but to ask them questions. It's hardly surprising, therefore, is it, that he was later to be addressed as Rabbi. Again, as St. Luke says, the favor of God was upon him. Indeed, it's noteworthy that although in St. Luke's Gospel, the angel Gabriel had announced at Jesus' birth that he would be called the Son of the Most High, the Son of God, it is here for the very first time that Jesus actually appears as the Son of God. He said to his parents, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" In my Father's house. Already, even at the age of 12, Christ has reached the awareness of who he was, namely the Son of God. And that, of course, is the epitome and the joy of the whole Christmas story. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.